Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining me on the show, we talked quite a bit about Joe Flacco in the first hour of the program, what that trade could mean to the Denver Broncos, what it could mean to others who were tangentially affected by it. And joining me right now is a national reporter for the NFL Network, one of the best. You can get him on Twitter at James Palmer TV. You see him on the NFL Network all the time. It's James Palmer. James, how are you tonight, my friend?
Sean, I'm going to be calling you soon on this program to talk Bryce Harper, because I'm a diehard Fighting Phils fan, and I need this trade to go down and happen. So we're going to maybe I'll call back like later in the hour and we can talk about Bryce Harper too, because that's where like my fandom is like fully in. NFL, it's a business, it's my job. Bryce Harper, I'm on pins and needles over the last, 2 months.
All right, so right now you are James Palmer, Emmy winning reporter for the NFL Network, but in like an hour and a half you're going to be James in Denver. Is that the deal?
Yep.
Jimmy,
and Denver,
I'm just gonna be long time, first time. Disguise it even just a little bit. Be like Jimbo in Denver or something, right?
Jimmy from North Denver.
There you go. Well, dude, for your sake, I hope it comes through, man, because I can sense the excitement in your voice. It's palpable.
My dad works for the club, so we're heading down to spring training in Clearwater in about 2 weeks to go visit him and catch a game or two, and hopefully Bryce is in Philly's pinstripes.
Oh, dude, we'll have fun with that. I'm sure your phone won't be going nuts if it's during free agency. Yeah. That should just be nice and calm, I'm sure.
No, you think they would give me days off during free agency? No, it will definitely be prior to the window.
Okay, just checking. All right, James, so I think I know the answer to this, but using your Bryce Harper enthusiasm right now as sort of the jumping off point, are the people in Denver anywhere near as excited about Joe Flacco being their starting quarterback?
Well, I do know, if you remember back to a divisional playoff game several years back, there's people here in Denver that absolutely despise Joe Flacco for dropping that 70-yard touchdown pass with 43 seconds left in the game to Jacoby Jones over, I think it was Raheem Moore, ability to jump over the Saturday Daily News to bat that pass down. So I think they're happy that maybe he can do something good for them after ripping their hearts out several years ago. But I think, I asked the same question being, here in Denver, and I had to go on NFL Network, the day the trade happened. I knew they were shopping and looking around for him earlier in the week. Is why? Why make the move? What did they see that made Joe Flacco be the guy that they wanted? And my understanding is, I think it's another swing by John Elway. He continuously says and tells us that he's never going to stop swinging. The misses don't bother him. When he says swinging, he's talking about going after quarterbacks. The misses don't bother him. He's going to keep swinging. And this is another swing that could be, in my mind, could be a miss. And we'll see what happens. But what they liked about Flacco was Vic Fangio was part of that staff early in Flacco's career. He's a linebackers coach with the Ravens. He was really impressed with Joe Flacco. He was kind of at the epicenter of this trade. It wasn't just John Elway. Vic Fangio had a big voice in it. And they went and they privately scouted themselves. Right, every team does this. The new coaching staff looked at everybody on their own roster and scouted everybody. Then the scouts went over the Broncos roster, scouted everybody. Everybody came back with the same opinion about Case Keenum, that his grade was below the grade that both groups had for Joe Flacco. And so they all had a familiarity with him. Vic had stayed in touch and stayed, close with a lot of people that are in Baltimore over the years that were part of the staff that he knows, and contacted them back up this past week, and they all said that really Joe was throwing the ball really well before he got hurt, and they thought very highly of him. And they think he's won some big games. The contract is something that they like. They kicked the tires on Nick Foles. This is going to be cheaper. They know how good the 2020 class is in terms of quarterbacks. So if this is a 1 year for a fourth round pick that essentially they got from the Texans in the Demaryius Thomas trade, that you can see it for a year, and you can go year by year the 2 years after that. So everything kind of lined up to what they like about Joe Flacco. Now we're going to see if it results in wins is going to be the main part.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about, James, because they won a Super Bowl in 2015 with, I know it was Peyton Manning, but it was Peyton Manning who was a fraction of the Peyton Manning that he had been throughout his career. And so they didn't get great quarterback play that year. And Brock Osweiler played half the season for them that year, and yet they were still the number one seed in the AFC. If the non-quarterback portion of that roster was an A, which I think unequivocally it was, they won the Super Bowl with bad quarterback play, what is the grade for the roster that's around Joe Flacco right now?
It's nowhere near what that roster was. I mean, you got to remember, even though Peyton Manning was a fraction of himself, like you said, and you're entirely right with how he was throwing the football, it was still Peyton Manning's brain getting under center and looking at that defense and getting them in the right run play throughout the playoffs, getting them in the right. I mean, he made a couple, and you know him well, a couple monster throws to Owen Daniels in the playoffs that, you know, he just, when he needed to make a throw, he could. But the other times, I think that's one of the greatest defenses of all time. I put it up there with probably the 85 Bears and maybe the 2000 Ravens, as one of the greatest defenses we've ever seen. So that, I mean, that, I talked to Von Miller before the Super Bowl on the sideline. And I was asking him, how do you guys take down Peyton? You know, how did you guys take down Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game that year? And he was like, we were a different defense. So I think that really kind of proves the point to what they had. What he has around him is, what's the future for Emmanuel Sanders? This is the last year of his contract coming off of an Achilles. How healthy is he going to be, and when is he going to be healthy? I think you have an emerging star in Cortland Sutton at the wide receiver spot. And Deshaun Hamilton, I think those two draft picks they had can play. But they don't have a tight end. They don't have a very secured offensive line. Their best offensive lineman, their center, Matt Paradis, is going to be a free agent and is probably going to go out and test the market. And then defensively, they're just not what they were. And Wade Phillips was a big part of that defense, too, and he's not there. So, I mean, I do think Vic Fangio is a brilliant play caller on the defensive side of the ball. What he might have dialed up for that group might help, but Bradley Roby could possibly be gone. I would think he's going to be elsewhere. That leaves one of the three corners that you had on that Broncos defense with Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, and Roby. You just have Chris Harris now. It's not the same team at all. Yeah. But they do love that Joe has won a lot of playoff games. And he has. He's won a lot of road playoff games. He has 7 road playoff wins in his career, which is pretty remarkable. But, I mean, you're banking on a couple of things that happened a while ago.
Yeah.
And you have to remember also the team that was around Joe Flacco for a lot of those wins as well, speaking of defenses.
Yeah, no question about that. James Palmer, NFL Network, joining me on the show. Where is the fan base in Denver right now with John Elway, James?
This is the first year that I've ever really seen it turn. And it's starting to turn in a sense. And, you know, it's in a different situation that nobody else really is in outside of Jerry Jones, at, you know, making the calls in Dallas. I mean, John is, in a sense, almost untouchable. You know, you have an owner that really isn't an acting owner in Pat Bowlen, who, deservingly so, is going to the Hall of Fame this year, which is great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have Joe Ellis, who's running the team for him and the trust running this team for him. And they're the only people that really have the power over John Elway in terms of relieving him of his duties. And we talk about these swings and misses. Let's go through them. I mean, he wanted Brock Osweiler to be the next quarterback of the Denver Broncos. The only reason he wasn't is he was outbid by Rick Smith in Houston. That's the only reason that Brock wasn't back long-term to be the next quarterback to the Broncos. Then he goes and plays 4 quarterbacks in 2017. You know, you had Mark Sanchez in here at one point. And then you go to the Case Keenum experiment for 2 years, and they got together this offseason and just said, he's not good enough to win for us. He's not going to be good enough, so we need to move on, and that's after a year. So, I mean, it's a tough spot for him to figure out, it seems like, the quarterback spot. And then Paxton Lynch, the one I forgot, you trade up for Paxton Lynch in 2016, who could be, maybe, one of the worst first-round pick busts at the quarterback spot ever, because he never even earned a chance to get the job. I mean, he never even became the starter, really. So, I mean, it's a lot of swings and misses when he talks about it. And they're starting now to eventually, you know, turn a little bit. But I will say this draft class that they had this past year, I think, was a really good class. You know, to find in Philip Lindsay, we saw what Bradley Chubb was. You saw what Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. And so I think this class was really good. He has another class like this with the 10th overall pick. What they do here could help him. But the quarterback spot has been a big problem for him since Peyton Manning. But we'll give him credit for Peyton Manning, right? I mean, that was a huge move to lure him here and have faith in the guy that you didn't know how he threw the football and had a ton of success when he brought him here. But since that, it's been tough sledding.
Yeah, no, no doubt gets credit for the Peyton Manning thing, because I think Elway's presence there was a big reason why Manning chose to go there. Yeah, absolutely. James, where do you think Case Keenum winds up in all this?
you know, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, I think very highly of Case. I think he's a great guy. You know, I was in, you know, Sean, I was in Houston when, you know, Gary Kubiak gave him his shot as a practice undrafted guy. And, you know, I think this is another going to be one of those things that, you know, molds him in a sense. I think what we saw was, you know, the year in Minnesota, he had great tight end play. Case loves to throw the football down the middle of the field to tight ends. I think what we're just finding out is, you know, he's a guy that I don't think he's going to go out there and win the games for you. If everybody around him is good enough, he can get W's as a part of that, as a collective group, but he's not going to go out there and win you the games on the final drive. I could see him being probably the most coveted backup coming out in this, you know, in this round for 2019 and where he lands. And, you know, he's owed $7 million by the Broncos. Now, the way the language is said is, you know, somebody say the Cardinals want him as their backup or something to help with Rosen, and he gets paid $5 million, then the Broncos owe him $2 million. But he's going to get $7 million this year no matter what. I think he's just going to be the most coveted sort of backup quarterback out there. I don't think it's going to be a starting shot for Case Keenum.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd take him back here, backing up Deshaun Watson in a heartbeat. No doubt about that. James Palmer, yeah. NFL Network, joining me on the show. Before I let you go, James, quick non-Broncos question. Antonio Brown, where do you think Antonio Brown winds up, and is there a chance he winds up still playing for the Steelers in 2019?
Well, my spot for him is because this is a team I fell in love with this year, and he would just be perfect as the Colts. I mean, the Colts have nobody has more money than they have. They are built so perfectly everywhere, and Andrew Luck throwing to Antonio Brown, I mean, him and T.Y. Hilton, I think, would be fantastic. Wide receiver is the one spot that they're lacking. I just love that team and the way they're built. They're a Super Bowl contender if they land Antonio Brown. I do think the Niners are a definite team. I think the Jags would be a real interesting play. The Cardinals would be a spot, too, in terms of you got a young quarterback that, you know, looking for a new target that, you know, has the legacy of Larry Fitzgerald is kind of turning over. Do you go over to him? I think the Niners seem to be an interesting one, but at the same time, keep an eye on the Raiders with all the picks that John Gruden has, you know, collectively accrued over the last year to see if maybe that's a spot that maybe he could land. But I just don't see it happening back in Pittsburgh. I think this has a lot to do with Mike Tomlin, a lot to do with Ben Roethlisberger, and I also think a lot to do with Antonio Brown. I mean, players around the league have told me, like, that have known him, or like, I don't know what the guy's doing. Like, I'm not sure what he's been up to over the last couple of months. I mean, they're kind of beside themselves in a little sense of, like, you know, the way he's been acting and the way it's gone. But I think there's blame to go around to everyone, I think him included. But I just don't see him going back to that same situation because of everybody else is going to be back there.
It's James Palmer. You can get him at James Palmer TV on Twitter. And, of course, you see him all the time on the NFL Network. James, I'll talk to you in hour number four when you are Jimmy from Denver, all right?
You got it. No price is too high for Bryce Harper. I don't care. Next time, Middleton, pay all he wants.
You got to have a Philly accent when you call in, though. You got to disguise a little bit.
That's the thing I'm happy about. You know, I didn't do a lot of Denver Broncos over the last couple of 2 years because they're not very good, so I'm around everywhere. But I'm excited to talk to Joe because he sounds exactly like every dude I grew up with. You know, it's gonna be it is a wonderful accent that we have from Philly. I try to lose it whenever I can, but if I call in later, Sean, I'm gonna be like, yeah, the Phil's got to go out there and they got to play different ball when they're playing out there with Bryce Harper. I don't care how much money you're gonna throw out there, but we need a right fielder bad.
I need a glass of water.
Yeah, need a water. Duck boats down there. It's crazy where they ride around. Yeah.
Fantastic. James Palmer joining me on the show. James, I appreciate it. You're the best, man. We'll talk soon.
You too, buddy. Good talking to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.